Before Brian comes, most of you know him. I mean, I don't have to give, a biographical background, but he's not going to be with us for a while, and this is as good a time as any to say it. I'm proud of this young man for a lot of reasons, but over the years, I've told this story before, maybe in private, but the first time I met him, long-haired teenager, I didn't even realize he was from our church because we were having lots of groups come here from out of town and help us do street ministry, and we were in Manhattan on Broadway and Fulton, and there was a blonde-haired kid there in the group, and I didn't know he was from our church, and he was helping us hand out tracts and hold up scripture signs, and I asked him where he was from. He goes, "From New York." I go, "Oh, really? Well, what church are you from?" He goes, "Yours." And I was like, "Really?" And I think he'd been coming for a while in the youth group, but I didn't know who he was, but that was my first contact with Brian, but that even that day I remember it well, as he and I went down Fulton Street with scripture signs and gospel tracts, but from that day to this, I've seen in this young man a desire to just serve the Lord and to give himself wholeheartedly to the things of God. He's been through a lot. I guess, you know, that's true of everybody in this room. And there have been some ups and downs. That's true for everybody in this room. But he just keeps growing, and I thank the Lord for him. And I know we have guest preachers from time to time, but there isn't anything that blesses my heart more than the homegrown preachers that we have right here in our congregation. I'm glad for the guys that come through, but there's nothing better than just the young men that God is working in right now, raising up in our church, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for the Lord, and thankful for what he's doing in the lives of some of these young men. So this is a big step. I don't think this is what Brian, this was not like his lifelong dream to work for Jack Patterson or anything, but as it is many times in the ministry, a need presented itself. Jack had a need. He needed somebody to come and help, and he called and asked me about Brian, and I think they had spoken already on one occasion about the possibility of him going. And I just don't think there's anything higher that a young man could aspire to than to preach the gospel, you know, and to be in the ministry. There's nothing higher than that, in my opinion, and according to the Word of God. That is the high calling of God, and I thank the Lord for that. All right, brother, you come on, and it's all yours. You pray for him while he preaches, all right?
I was going to start out with a little bit of a testimony, but that was already sort of done for me. But I still want to give a little bit of a real brief foreword on how I got to this point. Like Pastor said, when I first came to this church, and I was brought here by Stephen Visaki in junior high school. And I remember he first got saved, or he just recently got saved, and he brought me here. And I started coming Wednesday nights, and he told me, "Pray this prayer." So I prayed this prayer. And to this day, Stephen and I both still don't remember what he told me to pray. I don't have a clue, but I remember it was about a year or so, maybe a little less after that. I really understood what the scripture said about being saved, and I was born again shortly after that. It's been about 7 years since then. And through a bunch of different things. And I remember Pastor Mike graciously, I was going through something at home, and he let me stay in his house for about 2 months. And then eventually I stayed in the church for about a year and a half when I said it would only be about one night. But I remember it was at that time when the Lord is always working on our hearts. And one thing he showed me was, you don't have to turn there, but Colossians 3:17 and 1 Corinthians 10:31. where it says basically to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus and do all to the glory of God. And those things really impressed upon my heart, and it was at that time where I started to realize, okay, there are things that have to go, and there are things that have to be added to my life. And it was really from there where I really started to grow. I have a long way to go, but it was there where I could really see the Lord start working in my life. And from there to now, it's been years and a lot of ups and downs and trials and tests and failures and victories, but I remember it was just recently before the Lord opened up this door for me, is that there were a couple things that I was still holding on to where I was like, Lord, they're very minor. I don't see the big deal. I don't think I really, I was holding on to just a couple things. And I prayed a few months ago for the Lord. I said, Lord, there's no point for me to be here unless you're going to use me. And I said, give me one of two things. I said, either take me home to heaven or use me for something. And it was shortly after that that I finally gave in. I gave up those things in my life. And just shortly after that, doors just, I guess, flew open. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to go down to help Brother Jack. So I really thank the Lord for the privilege to be used of him in this way. I know it's really slow here, so I wanted to go down. He's in Empire, Alabama, a lot quicker than this environment. The population, I think, is like 3. Jack being 2 of the 3, and I don't know who the other person is, but it's exciting. If we can start in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is something I thought about, what I should speak on tonight, and it just seemed like everywhere it kept coming up more and more, this topic, and I definitely feel this is what the Lord would have me to speak tonight. This is something that I'm going to really have to learn to do from this point on a lot more. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the honor and the privilege, Lord, just to be used by you in any sort of way. Lord, it's amazing that you would even consider us, Lord, as sinners and all of us, including myself, Lord. We disobey you and make mistakes, Father, but you still show mercy and you still see fit to use us in ways, Father, if we're willing. Thank you so much, Father. I'm glad that the scriptures say it's not counted for what I don't have, but just what I do have, and if I have a willing mind, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you for just being so good to us. Please help me tonight to deliver the message that you want me to speak. Thank you again, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 4, verse 5 says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." If you want to turn to Psalms chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. just ahead in Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, David continued to say, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." What I want to talk about briefly tonight is something that I'm going to have to really learn to do a little bit more, is trusting in the Lord. We know this, if you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I know one of the best ways to learn something is to teach it. And I know this is something that I had to go over, and the Lord had to show me some new things and go over familiar verses just to get my attention. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we could probably quote this. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Turn to Psalms chapter 11 again. Psalms 11, verses 1 to 3, David said this, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." And he said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" He said, "Put I my trust in the Lord," he said. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 1 Corinthians 3, around verse 11, Ephesians 2:20 talk about Jesus Christ as the foundation and the chief cornerstone. We can't really do anything if we don't have the foundation. If we don't have the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, if we're not putting our trust in him, we can't do anything. Jesus said to Pilate, right, "You would have no power except that were given of thee by my Father." Right, we couldn't do anything if we did not trust in Jesus Christ, if it were not for him. Turn to Psalm 34. The pastor teaches us real well, and we'll be turning to a lot of scripture. So, praise the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 22. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Just ahead in 37, verse 5. He says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." It didn't say he'll bring everything to pass. It said, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and then he'll bring it to pass." David said in Psalm 118, verses 8 to 9, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Go to Proverbs 22. One of the things Solomon wanted to get across to those that read what he wrote down is here in Psalm 22, starting in verse 17, Proverbs 22, 17. "Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them with thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known unto this day, even to thee." So the reasons, one of the reasons why he wrote down all his words of wisdom, some of the things he learned as he gained wisdom from the Lord, is that we might trust in the Lord. One of my favorite verses, if you want to turn to the book of Philippians, go to chapter 4. One of the promises God made to the believers that, as the Philippians did, they trusted in God, and elsewhere in the scriptures it said they gave in abundance, and they were always willing to give things away and do things for the Lord, not considering themselves but the Lord first. And they always trusted God. And one thing that God promised them was in chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. That's a promise from God. That blesses me. I don't know, you know, if anybody gets as blessed. Does anybody? I hope. Nobody? Okay. All right, good. That's something that really blesses me a whole lot, to know that if I'm like the Philippian church, if I'm trusting God to take care of my needs, He'll take care of my needs. That's it. You know, for example, I'll give a short list of some things that God will take care of. These are other promises. First of all, food, right? Turn to Proverbs 28. Just something that I want to relay that the Lord was showing me during this is that there's nothing He left out. There's nothing that He's going to fall short on. There's nothing that He's going to overlook. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows everything, and He's not going to let anything slip. Proverbs 28, verse 25 says, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." If you want to go to Psalm 37, put your finger there and also go to Luke chapter 12. Psalm 37 and Luke 12. Psalm 37, verse 3, says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You know, not knowing exactly all the details of where I'm going, somewhere in the middle of Alabama, you know, I don't know what's out there, and, you know, probably the most thing, you know, I'll see cows walking around, and, you know, I don't know what's going to be out there, but I know God said He's going to, you know, feed us. He's going to take care of our food. So that shouldn't be a concern for any believer that's trusting in the Lord. We shouldn't be worried about food. If you have your finger in Luke 12, verse 22 to 30, the Lord is talking to His disciples, and He said unto His disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, nor what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind." So we know that He's going to take care of our physical needs as far as food. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Go down to verse 25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." He's going to keep us safe as well. Go to Psalm 18. He's going to take care of our physical needs as far as food is concerned, and He's going to take care of our shelter and safety. Just so we don't have any doubt in our mind that God's going to fail to take care of our needs in one area. Psalm 18, verse 30. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him." In 2 Samuel, let's see, what is this? Chapter 22, verse 31. It says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him." And thirdly, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's going to take care of our food. It's going to take care of our safety. Second Corinthians chapter, First Corinthians, okay. Second Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We're going to reap what we sow, right? We know that. It says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We're trusting in the Lord. We're going to give back to him what he's already given to us. I remember a few months ago, I think Pastor was preaching in Texas, and I forget what it was exactly he was preaching on, but something the Lord brought to my attention was that Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. If I'm stingy in what I give, whether money or my efforts or my life or time, if I'm stingy in giving back to the Lord, I'm not believing that promise. That was something that came across my mind, was that if I feel, oh no, I don't have enough money to give to this brother, he's in need, I should give him some money or spend some time with him or spend whatever. If I feel like it's not enough to give, I'm not believing that God will supply all my need. I'm not believing that he's going to take care of everything and he's going to give me enough to get through everything. And that was something that had to come across my heart. So he's also going to take care of your finances. He's going to take care of if you need money, if you need a way to get somewhere. Just today, I'm not going to say how, but I was in need for something, and a brother came to my aid, and I got something for a lot cheaper than I thought it would cost, and the Lord supplied that need. I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think it was going to happen, but the Lord supplied that need. And I thank the Lord for that brother and how he worked out that situation today. If you go to Psalm 112, God is good. Amen. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 7. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there riseth a light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He said he shall not be afraid of evil tidings because his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We don't have a lack of food to be afraid of. We don't have a lack of shelter or safe to be afraid of. We don't have a lack of anything to be afraid of as long as we're trusting God. As long as our heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, we have nothing at all to be afraid of. For an example, go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. You know, sometimes I think, oh, well, so-and-so never went through what I went through, or this person never went through what I went through, or you don't understand, you don't know what I went through. You know what? There are mighty men in the Scriptures that we don't know what they went through. And they went through some of the toughest trials to perhaps make us realize whatever we go through isn't really much of anything. Daniel chapter 2, we know the story where Nebuchadnezzar, he has this dream, he doesn't know what it's about, and none of his wicked sorcerers and interpreters and his followers can't figure it out. They tell him, we have no idea what it means. So he says, okay, fine, I'll kill everybody then. I'll kill all of you if you can't figure it out. So word gets to Daniel. He knows what's going on. So Daniel, if you go to chapter 2, verse 17, Daniel trusts the Lord. It says, then Daniel went to his house, in verse 17, and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellow should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Daniel trusted the Lord. He didn't fret. He realized, Nebuchadnezzar is sending out men to kill him, his fellows, and everybody else that was considered a wise man. But he trusted the Lord. He said, All right, guys, let's pray. Trust the Lord, and he'll take care of it. And if you look down further in the chapter, that's exactly what happens. Let's see. Where do I want to go here? Daniel meets with King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't think I wrote down where in the verse, in the chapter, but we know the story. Later in the chapter, he meets with the king. He says, All right, I prayed with the Lord. He told me what it's all about. Don't kill anybody. Here it is. And the Lord gave him the solution. He worked it out. The Lord did the impossible. Everybody was going to be killed. And then later on, in verse 47, this is how the situation ends up. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth, it is that your God is God of gods and a Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. And how does that verse go? When you're something with the Lord, you'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. How does that verse go? Somebody knows it.
This is in Proverbs.
Right. That's it. So there you go. When his ways were right with the Lord, when he was trusting God, trusting that the Lord would work the impossible, God did the impossible. And he made even his enemy his friend, and then his enemy actually appointed him to be a ruler within the kingdom. Also, in chapter 3, there's another example. You turn your page to chapter 3 if you have to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the tongue twister of the three of them. We know the story with them. Nebuchadnezzar, in around verse 5 and 6, he says, You're going to worship this idol that I made. And if you don't bow down to it and worship this idol that I made, I'm going to burn you in a fire and kill you. So similar circumstance, right? Daniel's fellows, as I said, they refuse to bow down and they choose to worship the God of Israel opposed to this idol. So Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the fire. But they say in verse 16, they say back to Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They weren't even hesitant. They didn't make a second thought. They didn't think, I don't know. Will the Lord really pull through for us? I don't know. They weren't even careful to answer him in this matter. Verse 17, If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And lo and behold, later on in verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar, he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And we know the story about that. And down in verse 23, same result. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that was all the result of them not even, as I say, being careful to answer him. They didn't even make a second thought. They just trusted God. They said, We're going to trust God 100%. We're not going to be a double-minded person. We're just going to trust God. And that's it. He did the impossible as usual. Ephesians 6, 10-11 says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, Be strong in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord, right, which is better to have confidence in man. We need to be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves. We can withstand even the wiles of the devil. We don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about safety or shelter. We don't have to worry about finances. We don't even have to worry about the devil. As long as we're trusting and being strong in the Lord, that's it. It's all going to be taken care of. Romans 8, go there if you can. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's going to take care of everything. There's not a single thing he's going to miss. It says, freely give us all things. God be for us, who can possibly be against us? The devil can't. We already know that. Look ahead at verse 35. Who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
I think that's a pretty exhaustive list. I can't think of anything else that God missed over that, okay, God's going to miss that. I have to worry about that. I can't find anything. I don't know if anybody else can find anything. But let me give you a quote from Fox's Book of Martyrs, a story about a martyr. He doesn't have his last name, but his first name is Kirby. And this is how he died. They burned him to the stake, and this is what it says about him. It's a little bit of old English, older than, I guess, King James or something. Master Wingfield said to Kirby, that's the martyr, "Remember the fire is hot. Take heed of thine enterprise, that thou take no more upon thee than thou shalt be able to perform. The terror is great, the pain will be extreme, and life is sweet. Better it be times to stick to mercy while there is hope of life, than rashly to begin and then to shrink." So he's trying to discourage him. You know, just recant, you know, life is sweet, the terror is great, be careful, just forsake Christ and you know, you'll be okay. You know, we'll take care of you. Your needs will be supplied if you recant. And then to whom Kirby answered, "Ah, Master Wingfield, be at my burning, and you shall say, there standeth the Christian soldier in the fire. For I know that fire and water, sword, and all other things are in the hands of God, and he will suffer no more to be laid upon us than he will give us strength to bear." Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Back where we started, we know that even though they despaired even of life, even though that martyr may have done so, and they had the sentence of death in themselves, verse 9, that we should trust in God, should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Paul and the others saw God work in the past, right? Just up ahead, I believe, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. They saw that God delivered them from things in the past, many, many great things and possibly seemingly impossible things. Paul and the others saw God working in their life now, delivering them from things of the present time, and they had enough faith and trust in God that they could say, we know that God, how do you say it, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. They knew that God worked in the past, he's working now, and we believe and trust that he will also take care of everything in the future. But also, look at verse 11. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. It wasn't just their faith, it wasn't just their trust in God, but it was also that the saints, that the fellow believers prayed for them, that they prayed for each other, and it's also by prayer for each other that will help us trust the Lord, that help us get through things. And we need to be faithful to pray for one another. You know, I recently got a joke by email from one of my coworkers, And, you know, they just saw it as a funny joke, but I saw a little, spiritual nugget or something that we can apply out of this joke. It's a pretty bad joke, but this is how it goes. That wasn't the joke yet. I didn't say it yet. Maureen was driving, and she was working up a sweat. She was very anxious because she was late for a meeting, and she couldn't find a parking spot. So she looked up toward heaven, and she said, "Lord, have pity on me. If you get me a parking spot so I can get to this meeting, I will go back to church. I'll go faithfully every Sunday, and I'll surrender my life and serve you for the rest of my life." Miraculously, a parking spot appeared right in front of her. She looked up toward heaven again, and she said, "Never mind, I found one." So, I don't know if that's good or bad, but the point is, she was trusting in the wrong thing. She wasn't trusting God, and she was possibly, trusting herself. And I guess the challenge is tonight, as well as for myself, because I needed this message, is that we're either going to trust ourselves to get our own parking spots, trust ourselves to get our own food and safety, shelter, finances, and to be strong in our own selves, or we can be like Paul, we can be strong in the Lord, we can trust the Lord, and we can depend on Him for everything. Because He is everything, we can't do anything without Him. So I just want to challenge myself, since I'm going into, a new chapter, just to challenge myself as I needed this very much so, and challenge everybody that we should trust in the Lord, not ourselves. Let's not be like that woman that trusted herself, but let's be like Paul, let's be like the other disciples that trusted in God. They saw Him work in the past, they saw Him working right now, and they also trusted that He would take care of them in the future. So that's it. I really thank the Lord for the privilege. This is such a great church here. There's nothing like it. There's mixed emotions. You don't want to leave because it's such a spiritual fortress here where you can gain so much, and I've gained so much over the last 7 or 8 years. There's nothing like this place. It really isn't. And I thank the Lord for this place and what the Lord has done in my life. And I look forward and trust the Lord that He'll do something amazing in the future. So praise the Lord.